I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
He's the U.S. attorney in this administration, in the Trump administration, here in Philadelphia. So his office sits inside one of America's, shall we say, top five sanctuary cities, which, of course, is sitting inside a lawless bubble of all kinds of things around that. Clearly violative of the law, but finding a way to challenge that and deal with that is difficult, given judges and everything else. I'm talking about U.S. Attorney William M. McSwain here in Philadelphia on the Spring Dance Hot Tubs Hotline. Bill McSwain, welcome back. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Good morning, Dom.
Well, good to see you on the front page last week. At least the local papers put it out there pretty directly, this battle with the sanctuary city in Philadelphia. And, Bill, what I was thinking, because I wrote about it a bit in today's paper, when we had this man who was deported once, comes back again, and then is released before ICE can get him and deport him, he then confesses ultimately he's serving time for it toward sexual assault or rape of a five-year-old. And yet, there is not an outcry here except from people like you.
Well, people like me are concerned about public safety, and we're doing everything we can to protect the public, which is our primary mission. So this is an example of a case that I think is very disturbing, and it's not the only case like it. And so we are going to continue to, of course, prosecute cases that we think should be prosecuted and also make sure the public is aware of what we're doing.
Tell me your challenge, though. What is it? Is it just, judges in the federal system, I guess, Bill McSwain, are positioned where there's a good bit of power? We've seen them able to throw the monkey wrench, at least for a period of time, into almost anything Jeff Sessions or the Trump administration would do on a variety of issues. Is there, it seems to me, just somebody who went to law school, I got into this, I didn't graduate, Bill, that it's an issue of standing. They're always going to come back to that you don't have the standing to challenge Philadelphia as a sanctuary city. Maybe the state government does.
Well, I think actually we have a great relationship with the U.S. Attorney's Office and the bench in the federal courts here. And I'm very pleased about some of the things that we've been able to accomplish in the federal courts. The problem specifically with the sanctuary cities is getting the local government's cooperation, for example, in respecting detainers. Mm-hmm. When ICE puts a detainer on somebody who is in local custody, a detainer is a request that if this individual is released from local custody, they're supposed to give the federal government, specifically ICE, a heads up so they can then take that person into federal custody and, if appropriate, deport him or her. So it's not a problem that we're having with the federal courts or the federal judges, which I think are excellent across the board in Philadelphia. It's really a problem with the city's local policies.
Okay, but the city is standing on its hind legs, Bill, and they're saying, we don't care. So what's the mechanism, do you think, to bring them to heel? Because it seems clear to me that they are out of bounds of the law right now, and what happened here in many cases is tragic.
It is tragic. I wouldn't say, I have to be careful about saying whether they're actually violating the law.
I don't want to draw it. Right.
But what they are doing is they are not cooperating and not sharing information in the way that we think is in the best interest of public safety. And really, this is a lesson that I think we learned after 9/11, that all levels of law enforcement are supposed to be cooperating and sharing information, whether it's state, local, or mm-hmm. federal. And we have here a situation where the city is basically, in some instances, acting like they're in a silo, and not going to share information with the federal government for what we think are improper purposes. So, again, it's not that I'm saying that they are necessarily breaking the law, but what they're doing is they are not, in the spirit of good law enforcement, they are not sharing information like they should be.
And this PARS thing, the listeners are aware of that. When Jim Kenney, the mayor, has rescinded that agreement, what exactly, what advantage should that give law enforcement, the PARS thing?
Well, the PARS database is sharing arrest information with, you're referring to the contract they had with
yes.
ICE, for
mm-hmm.
example. And the issue there, again, it's an information sharing issue where I don't think that the city, I don't think it's in the best interest of the residents of the city and the citizens of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania for the local government not to be sharing information with ICE and not to be sharing information with the federal government. And what they've said at times is perhaps they're not sharing the information because they think that ICE is somehow improperly targeting people. And that's just not correct. And it really comes down to what you, I guess, how you define targeting. What ICE is not doing is they are not doing anything illegal. They are not doing anything improper. They are not improperly targeting people. But what they are doing is they're trying to do their job. And their job is to make sure that illegal immigration is not something that is tolerated. And if appropriate, people are deported. So there's no evidence that they're doing anything improper.
Let me ask you about that last part. They argue that ICE has somebody who is here illegally. That's one issue. And then they've committed some other level of criminal behavior, the whole panoply of them. But if they go and raid and go after that person and they find other people that are illegal, they are going to move potentially to deport them too. And that's what they object to.
Well, first of all, I think ICE, like my office, is focusing on the worst cases.
Right.
And I can say, certainly with my office, what we're doing is we're trying to identify the folks that are the biggest threat to public safety, and then we charge them federally if appropriate, and then after they've finished with their federal sentence, they're then deported. And there's one argument that the proponents of illegal immigration make that I want to address that I think does not really hold up to any scrutiny. And the argument is this. They say that on average, illegal immigrants may commit less crime than legal residents. Okay, first of all, even if the data supports that, which I'm not sure that it does, but even if the data supports that, that argument is essentially irrelevant because any crime committed by an illegal immigrant who doesn't have a right to be in the country raises the crime rate because that crime never should have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
This person should not have had the opportunity
right.
to do that. And so, you know, by way of analogy, let me just throw this out there. It would be like somebody, like a stranger, coming into your home and then eating the food out of your refrigerator or taking up room on your couch or being in your home. And then if you object to that, the person saying, well, on average, I eat less food than you do. Right?
On you average, said the future, right.
Yeah. On average, I take up less square footage
right.
on your couch than you do, so I'm allowed to stay. I mean, people would do exactly what you just did. They'd laugh at that. That's a ridiculous argument. But that's the exact argument that people are making when they say, on average, an illegal immigrant commits less crime than a legal resident. The point is that any crime, a single crime by a single illegal immigrant, raises the crime rate, and it's a burden that the community should not have to bear.
Exactly. I wanted to talk about gangs in this area. I'm talking about not just, you know, youthful prank gangs, but MS-13 type. To my sense, I never hear of MS-13. I've heard various things in Chester County and places like that. Do we have drug gangs? And to the point we were just talking about, Bill McSwain, with illegal immigrants, there's a rehabilitation effort by some on the left in the media when President Trump speaks out about the horrors of MS-13 to kind of make it like they're just misunderstood kids that are here.
We, in this district, in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, so Philadelphia
right.
and the surrounding eight counties, fortunately, we do not have a big transnational gang problem. We tend to have local gangs. Now, local gangs can be very violent. Local gangs can be deadly, very dangerous. And sometimes we do have transnational gangs where they're sort of traveling through our district you know, going up to New York or going down mm-hmm. south. So mm-hmm. we do have times where we deal with MS-13 or other international or transnational gangs, but fortunately, our district is not a major area as compared to, say, New York. Some of the districts up in New York have major MS-13 problems. Fortunately, we have more of a local gang problem, and but we're always vigilant and trying to make sure that if we see any signs of the national or international gangs, that we crack down on it right away.
Absolutely. Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the time today and the work you do and how judicious you are in trying to separate yourself from the law and just, spouting off on it. I appreciate the access to you. Please come back again soon.
My pleasure, Dom. Anytime.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon. On Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.